Let's get moving in Haggadah. In Haggadah. So we start off with every Shabbos Haggadah drasha. Every Shabbos we drasha. Shabbat that was called Pinchas on the first page of our Pinchas Haggadah, where he says, and again, some of these words are general. You can say these during the day also, and you're allowed to. But this is how he starts off. He says every holiday on the Jewish calendar, you can prepare for, or you can also experience. And he gives the mashal. He says, imagine, and this is all my stuff for some of you right now, you're cleaning up your room, you're packing up your suitcases, and you call the taxi, and the taxi comes to pick you up, and you have your passport, and you go to the airport, and you give it the... Do you want to just listen? Do you want a paper or pen? Or you're okay? You got a pen and a new paper? Yeah. Okay, you give it, you have to write on the back of it, whatever you want. You want to put a separate paper? What a mitzvah. Amazing. You need one other sign. And you get to the airport and you give it your bags, and then you go buy a coffee, and then you go by the water, and you're sitting by the water, and you're relaxing, and all of a sudden they hear, okay, boarding. So you go to the boarding gate, and you look out the window, big glass window, you see the airplane. So excited, and all of a sudden they say, okay, everybody get on the plane, get on the plane, and you're looking out the window, and it's so exciting, and they say, okay, last call, and you're still looking out the window. And you watch as the doors close, and as the plane starts taxiing away, and the plane starts taking off. That's one experience. But then there's another person who does the exact same thing, but he gets on the plane. Says the thing is, we can prepare so much for Pesach. We can prepare so much for any for Shabbos, for any day. But we can't forget to get on the plane. We can't forget to go the last step. Not just to watch it take off. Not to just have everybody else experiencing Pesach. But let us experience Pesach. Let us be able to have the enjoyment, the experience, the fulfillment. You have this I've heard this by weddings too. There's like so many, I've never been to a big wedding, let's share without me. But you make a wedding and you prepare for months and the gift and the caterer and the photography, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's over. You prepare for like 6 months for 4 hours. So the bracha is to tell the Bali Simcha, enjoy the wedding. Just experience it, at least with all the preparations, but at least be there, right? Like the Kutzker. Don't just go, be there. But it applies to Shabbos, and that's Rav Pinchas, how he starts off the Seder. Related to that, set apart, related to that is a thought from, there was a Rabbi Sender who wrote a lot of Svarim. They're all called the commentator's blank, the commentator's sitter, the commentator's Roshodesh, the commentator's Shuas. He has four, I think, the commentator's Haggadah, the commentator's Pesach Seder, the commentator's Pesach Seder Haggadah. He has like all of these. So I never met him, but when I went to Skokie this year, for recruiting, I saw they had this old memorial for him in the Skokie Yeshiva, the Toronto. He was there a couple years ago. I didn't know anything that. But he has amazing sparks. He writes, he quotes somebody, what's the story with the Siman? How did you work out? We don't do that by any other... holiday, like announce like what we're going to do and have all. So he says, imagine, you know what this is? It's our itinerary. Imagine if you're going to go, right, some of you guys are going to Poland next week. Imagine if you didn't prepare at all. You go to Poland, you're going to be like, okay, what should we do today? Let's go to oh, it's not open today. Oh, you have to make reservations for that. Oh, let's go here. Oh, you have to hire a, it only takes a certain amount of people. If you go somewhere and you don't plan out ahead, you're not going to be most efficient. You're not going to get the most out of the trip. You're not going to feel it and do it right. We are all on a journey tonight. The journey is called Zikri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what we have to do is to try to get all the stops. We're going to first stop at Kaddish, then we're going to stop at Orchatz, we're going to spend some time on Yachad. Knowing where we're going is already built into the experience. Right, about you on your vacation, oh, what are we doing tomorrow? Oh, so, and 2 days, you know what we're doing? Oh, that's great. Maybe yesterday was awesome. If you see the whole thing in
the framework of the whole system, it makes the experience that much deeper and that much more effective. That's the simon. We're going to start a kaddish, but I already see in the future. I see motzi matzah over there. I'm so excited.
And when I do my, I remember, you know, some people have the minhag in every family. If you sing them all again when you get up to the one, you have that minhag.
God, they're about, yeah, bucket.
Okay, then you're stuck there for a while. But then you sing them all up to the one you're up to. Because, well, what's that about? You know, you start over. Because you see everything in the context.
You see everything in, you know, with the other,
what's before and what is after.
Okay. And then we get into the actual simanim.
Take a couple of
so Kaddish. Kaddish or Chatz. So Apidrush. I don't remember who says this.
But Apidrush, usually we believe in Sermon Ra and then Masei Tov.
Right? First you...
Thank you very much.
First you get rid of the bad, and then you sanctify with the good.
Sermon Ra, then Masei Tov.
But here, right, it's, we spoke about, maybe that's what tefillah is before, meal is before tefillah. We spoke about that a little bit in putting some
Shabbat. That's our Imam's connection
of the day. But here, all of a sudden, Kadesh, sanctify, Orchat, and then wash.
Okay, it's not Yidush. You know, we know Orchat is the Karas.
But it's Kadesh and Orchat. So first we're jumping in and sanctifying ourselves, then Orchat. Shouldn't it be first Orchat and then Kadesh?
I mean, yeah, even the Yankees don't wash before Kiddush,
right? Orchatz is not before Kaddish. Why? Because tonight Hashem says it's a rule breaker. Just jump in.
Don't worry about your faults, about your sins, about things on you. Just jump in Kaddish.
Then we'll worry about Orchatz getting clean and getting the dirt off. Don't worry about that. Just jump in.
That's Kaddish and Orchatz. Yeah, that explanation is one of the reasons for the Vav by here.
Okay, right. Why there's only a Vav by a Vav by Orchatz. There's no Vav by all, any of the others. Kaddish, Rochatz, Orchatz.
Okay.
Karpas. Yeah, Karpas we spoke about at the another shiur. We spoke about the Karpas, right? And the silk. So we're not going to really review that again. Yachatz.
So we split the matzah. We put the eager part of the matzah later up to.
I think what Shlomo Zalman said. 2 points. Number one, don't call it stealing the Afikoman. We don't steal.
Grab it. Take it.
But we shouldn't educate our children to steal. That's not what we do. Oh, that was from Shlomo Zalman, but this following one is from the Shemana Tov. Everybody's dope Weinberger.
He said, if you ask the kids before Pesach, what is your favorite part of Seder?
What do you remember the most? What are you looking forward to the most? They'll all say, taking the Afikoman.
What does that have to do with kids? Okay, the kids, take it. Where did that minhag come from that the children... take the Afikoman.
Notice? I don't remember what I said. What is the Afikoman called? Safon.
The hidden. It's hidden, the hiding away.
So I think the Shemana Tov said Safon symbolizes what's hidden from us. What's hidden from us?
The ultimate hidden. We're looking forward to the end. The end tonight is Afikoman, but the end in the future is Mashiach, is Geula. Our hopes for Geula depend on our children.
Because our children symbolize our future.
Our children symbolize our dreams and aspirations.
So what's suffering?
Future, hidden, Geula, that's connected to our children.
You want to know? want you to come home and they're going to say, or Rashi didn't say anything about Pesach. They're going to say, no, he did actually love it. I was kidding. Okay? So I don't want any calls. I don't want any WhatsApps. You know? Okay. I want you to be overflowing that you don't know which to say. I'm not like, what do I have? Should I have? What am I going to say? Which one should I choose? Okay. Continuing. So we start mocking. The Shem HaTov also says, Magid is, what's the source, where does the word Magid come from? The Pasuk says, he got to tell the Gentile. Magid. Why is there a focus on family at the Seder? This is also a word you could say during the day. Everything's about family, Av and Ben. More than any other holiday. All about family. This is a great one-liner. Yevamos in action! Yibam's connection. So he's Akyom. I guess he's Akyom. What does the Gemara say? Evid, Elo. Remember? Chayes. So what does that mean? An Evid does not have any family connection. Non-Jews do. Right? Non-Jews have Arayos while they're non-Jewish. An Evid has no halachic family connection. The emphasis on family is to show we're not. And amazing, we'll go on. Punchline. Where did this come from? Who was the first one to be cursed that he was going to be an Eved? Who was it? Chum, the son of Noah. Why? Because he didn't respect or connect to his father. You don't connect to your father? Okay, forevermore, you will not have a connection to your father. You'll be an Eved. Comes from Chum. Right? Chum Aviv Kanan, Eved Kanani. Chum rejected the connection with his father, and therefore, Hashem says, okay, you won't have a connection. You won't have a connection to the father. That's how we start. As we start, father and son, and children, that's the family. So we have, then we start mocking. Let me start mocking. Yeah, pass this around again. We're going to take another couple. Okay, we already said Rabbi Kanak on Tuesday, but I just wanted to add something that we said much earlier in the year, but it's a great thing to say again. Remember Rabbi Kanak said, in Halacha Anya, what do we do by Halacha Anya? We say, now we're abundant, but we hope to be free. We're trying to have all. So what are we doing? Why are we talking about the future already? That's at the end of the Seder. The son of Yerushalayim. Why are we saying now we're above them, but we hope to be free? Remember, if it's connecting to the marshal, it could be a guy walking down the street, but he'll go with and say, tomorrow you're going to jail for 40 years. He's free, but he's already in jail. There's somebody who's been in jail for 40 years. The warden comes over to him and says, you're going free tomorrow. You're going out tomorrow. The guy's still in jail. You know what? He's already free. He's already walking differently. So much of our state has to do with our mentality. If we dream of freedom, we can already be free. Considered free. That's what we do at the beginning of the Seder. We could already be free. But I'll remind you of what we said way back before Yom Kippur. Way back before Yom Kippur. Which connects to this point also. Every point of Yom Kippur, we quoted from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Why is it that at the beginning of Yom Kippur, we scream out like Malachim, Baruch Shem Kavod? You scream out, we're like angels. 25 hours later, after being in shul all day, after getting kaparat avonot, we're clean, all of a sudden we whisper. Shouldn't be the opposite. Well, we started Yom Kippur, I'm still full, for 2.5 seconds, and whatever. Then we can whisper after 25 hours. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it's a maharal. What's the maharal? One of my top 5 favorite maharals. I don't know if it's a maharal. He probably has a lot more. He knows more favorite maharals than I know. I don't know. A lot. Anyway, so says the Maral, Parshas Vayetze.
Maybe Yaakov Avinu sees the dream. He sees the Malachim going up and down, all over the Yarden. And the Rashi asks, why is it all over the Yarden? Shouldn't it be Yarden Ba'olim? Malachim start off with Shemayim. Why up and down? So Rashi explains, it's the Malachi Eretz Yisrael going up. And the Malachi Chutz La'aretz is coming down.
Yaakov is going to Chutz La'aretz. He's running away from Esav. To ask the Maharal, why were they already switching? He was sleeping in Yerushalayim.
He wasn't at the border yet. Well, you guys have your passports now. So imagine, you know, the gate by the, when you go to the DWI, you'll give your passport there? No, you're not at the border yet. That's silly. So why are the angels changing around? Because in Ruchnius, your direction determines your position.
If you're going to Chutz La'aretz, you're Kilu already in Chutz La'aretz.
And therefore, it depends where you are. All you guys are going to be wherever. Many of you are going to be in Chutz La'aretz for Ben Azmanim.
But if your direction is, I can't wait to get back to Eretz Yisrael, you're Kilu already in Eretz Yisrael, you're doing this.
Depends what your direction is. Says Rosh Hashanah, when your kippur starts, you're right, we're still full, we're not fasting yet. But what are we thinking about? What's our direction? We're thinking about Yom Kippur.
25 hours later, by Ma'ariv, Halavai, we should be all angels. But you know what? What are we thinking about during Ma'ariv?
I hope the food's right.
So we whisper. Our direction determines our position. So at the beginning of the Seder, Halach Ma'anya, we announce our direction.
Our direction is Geula, and therefore we are already in the state of Geula.
Okay.
Manishtana.
Manishtana. I guess nobody likes the vanilla ones. No? That's the least?
You'll eat them if there's nothing else. Right. Anybody else want to pass it around again? Pass it around again. Feel free.
Manishtana. So there is a...
Just, you know, Manishtana, the Bashas is a question. Manishtana, four questions. But to note, the Rambam is clearly that it is a statement. The Rambam holds that Manishtana is a statement. But the Rambam says, Halach Ma'anya. And then it says, V'kan ha-ben sho'el. This is an important one. It's a very powerful thought. Let's do this. But V'kan ha-ben sho'el, here the son asks whatever he asks. And then Rambam says, V'omer ha-kore manishtan. Again, V'kan ha-ben sho'el, Rambam says, here the son asks. What does the Rambam say? He has whatever he wants. Whatever he thinks is different. Why are we sitting around the table? Why are you wearing white kindle? Why do we have all these strange things on the table?
And then the Rambam says, V'omer ha-kore, the reader says, manishtan.
What does that mean? How is it a statement? Explain to the Aruch HaShulchan and others, we say every Shabbos, Ma Rambu Masecha Hashem, how awesome is your world.
That's manishtan ha-layla zeh. How different is this night? How amazing is this night?
It's an exclamation.
But related to that, and we do this at our Seder, it says, V'kan ha-ben sho'el, and then Omar HaKoret. So the Bali Musar say, V'kan ha-ben sho'el, the son asks,
at that moment is a skula to ask Hashem for what he wants. V'kan ha-ben sho'el. We are all children of Hashem.
So I was announced. I said, okay, we're going to have everybody think about something. Everybody quiet. And ask Hashem for something.
V'kan ha-ben sho'el. We're about to celebrate our birthday and spend 2 hours thanking Hashem. It's such an ace for us. Hashem is saying, okay, ask. Take a minute to think about it.
V'kan ha-ben sho'el. A cool message is, by the way, say over this part on Shabbos, Shabbos HaLevavot before Pesach.
So then people could already have it in their mind. So when you get there, they could already have something to think about.
The confidential element. Yeah.
Where is that school?
In the Be'er HaChayim, he quotes it. You know, Bitterman's Haggadah. So there, he quotes this, the Kana Ben Shoel. I don't think it's a Chazal. But it makes a lot of sense that it's a school, the Kana Ben Shoel. It's probably based on the Yerushalmi by Purim, right? Called a Poshe Yad, right? Give it, whoever stretches out their hands. You know, if you give it, so it's kind of the way it's said. Okay, about the Rayinu. Okay, this you've heard before. I said this Parsha Shmos, but I'll say it again because it's Pesach and not everybody was there. Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. Why as a salvation? Why does it say Avadim Hayinu L'Paro and not Avdei Paro? That would have been a shorter, more direct phrase. Avdei Paro Hayinu. Why is it Avadim Hayinu L'Paro? Said the Rav, I'll ask another question. Why was the first way that Hashem appeared to Moshe as the burning bush? Why was that what Hashem chose? The snare, the burning bush? That's not so glamorous. How about like a mountain on fire? That would have been really cool. You have like Mount Everest on fire. Moshe, it's me. No, it's a little bush on fire, and what was it? It wasn't burning inside. That was the miracle. Why did Hashem choose that? Why did Hashem choose that? The Rav says unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go back to Mitzrayim. He didn't want to be. They don't deserve it. Right. Why was that run away from Midian? Because he killed the Mitzri and then two other Jews ran out of town. These people, they tell Lashon Hara. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, the bush is burning, but the inside is perfect and pure. On the outside, they look like the people who are doing avaris, who are doing idolatry. On the outside, but inside they're pure. Inside they're whole. It's like the bush that's burning, but inside it's not burning up. That's why the burning bush. And Hashem tells Moshe, Avad Mayinu. What's the difference between Avad Mayinu L'Paro and Avdei Paro Mayinu? Avad Mayinu L'Paro means a social reality. We were Avadim, we were servants to Paro. It was not an identification. It wasn't an affinity. Avdei Paro, what you knew, would have been, we are Paro, we are Avdei Paro. Like afterwards, Avdei Hashem, we became Avdei Hashem, we say Hala. We weren't Avdei Paro. Avdei Hashem, live Paro. Because inside we weren't in it. And that's what Hashem tells Moshe. Avdei Hashem, live Paro. Not Avdei Paro Hayinu. The outside was burning, the inside was pure. Okay, about me. Maisa with the five rabbis. Oh. This is also, this is a part, this is a bad pocket. Because you can use this always. Any shots you have to talk. We'll tell you how. But the question is, all these five rabbis had their own towns, their own kehillas, and they all went to Bnei Brak. Why did they go to Bnei Brak? Right, Pesachus. This should be a schus for the neshamas of those who killed the Bnei Brak. But why did they go to Bnei Brak? There was the town of, who was the rabbi? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was one of the five rabbis. They all went to that Bnei Brak. Why did they go to Bnei Brak?
For the Pesach.
They all have their own towns, their own places. So in the Aruch HaShulchan Haggadah,
the field of Palestine,
he says a thought that many others point out, but he says it. If you look throughout Shas, seven different stories.
Rabbi Akiva is always the optimist. He's always the one that sees things positively. 4 or 5 years ago, you know, we don't have too many scholars in residence in Israel. And so it's not as much of a thing. So in our shul, one Shabbos, we had a scholar residence. You know, we had a scholar residence. Rabbi Akiva. I dressed up like Rabbi Akiva. And, you know, I spoke about my life, one of the speeches. So I went through my life. And then one year was about the Torah's Rabbi Akiva. I spoke about what I'm into and about the Kamocha. Anyway, so I went to whole turban. But, anyway, throughout life, throughout Shas, Rabbi Akiva's always the optimist. The last Gemara in Machlokes is the most famous one. Right, everybody else is crying when they see the fox, and he's laughing. That's how you can start off. Well, there's a great thought about that, more than the Machlokes that we all know. Right, and then, why was he laughing? At the end of his life, or he was being killed. I was waiting for this. Number two. Number three, remember the story of Rabbi Akiva? He was traveling with a horse and a chicken and a candle. And nobody let him into town. Nobody hosted him. He stayed outside. And then the wind came and blew out the candle. And then a cat came and ate up the chicken. And then Rabbi came and ate up the horse. What does he say? Hold over a funnel top of it. Whatever she does is for the good. Whatever she does. And then he hears that the whole city was ransacked. Thank God I stayed outside. Everything I should have done is for the good. Rabbi Akiva was always the one that was positive. These are just three examples. These rabbis lived 150 years after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. They could probably still smell the ashes. Imagine what Pesach was like at that time. You call this a Seder? When millions of Jews used to go up to Yerushalayim, and we used to see each other 3 times a year, and have a Korban Pesach, and now what? There's no Mikdash, there's no Central. Maybe the story took place right after Bar Kokhba was killed, right, the false Messiah. So everybody, imagine how depressing that was. Imagine how difficult that Pesach was. Guess what? They all went to Bnei Brak to be with Rabbi Akiva. Because they knew he would give them chizuk. They knew he would be the one to be able to help them. Remember, Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was? Maybe he got it from his Rebbe. Nachum Ish Gamzu. Gamzu L'Tov. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. So that's why they went to Rabbi Akiva. Oh. Good? You with me? Okay, good. They'll sound just as good in French also. Okay. Amar Wazim Azariah. Wazim Azariah, already given Shivim Shana. Remember the Mishnah Maseches Brachos. I'm like 70 years old. I always just like to see over the story of Brachos. Right? This is the last line about like 70 years old. You know, that's the last line of the story. Brachos Chavzayin. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua got into a big fight. Rabbi Gamliel was removed from being the Nasi because he embarrassed Rabbi Yehoshua. They said, who's going to be the chief rabbi? Him. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Let's go to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The rabbinic entourage goes to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's house. They knock on the door. They open the door and they say, will you be the chief rabbi? This is what he's been waiting for all his life. He's been waiting for this call all his life. Amazing. What should be his answer? Yes! Thank you for coming. Let me get my bag. What's the answer? I have to ask my wife. This is a great part to say over the right? I have to ask my wife. What do you mean ask your wife? What does his wife have to do with being the chief rabbi? And he goes to ask his wife, the Gemara says. And what does his wife say? Don't do it. What do you need this headache for? They're going to fire you. They might fire you tomorrow. What does he say? Better to be a glass clay one day of my life than to be an earthenware clay all my life. If I could be the chief rabbi for a week, that's also good. And then what does she say? But you're so young, you don't have a white beard. And overnight he grew a white beard, and that's why he says, what we say, not about that, I'm like 70 years old. That's the background to the statement of not about. Right, but the great part that you have to say at your Seder is, why do you have to go ask his wife for? This is what he's been dreaming about. What's the answer? My spirituality cannot come by stepping on the toes of somebody else. If I'm going to be the chief rabbi,
I'm not going to be home for bath time too much. I'm not going to be home to eat supper. I'm not going to be able to do carpools as much. I'm not. My spiritual ladder is going to affect my life.
I can't do that without asking permission. I can't just like decide, you know what, honey, I'm going to learn. I know the kids are nuts and there's shopping to do and this house is a mess, but I'm going to learn.
I have to do that.
It's all lies. Yeah.
What?
So Moshe Rabbeinu, he was, first of all, he was an exception to the rule in history, right? And Hashem told him. Hashem told him, and Zipporah knew. You know, Zipporah knew. That was an exception to the rule.
Moshe had to be ready every second.
He sacrificed, so to speak. Rav Soloveitchik has this unbelievable paragraph where he talks about Avraham Avinu almost killed his son. He had an akedah, but it was stopped by Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had to actually go through a kid. Whether it's his wife or his kids, he had to separate. But it's very, very powerful. Anyway, that's what it was from Azariah.
But another just line. This cool. One time the Vilna Gaon
was sitting at the Seder, and he reads this paragraph,
and the Vilna goes sitting at his Seder, and he says, snakes aren't going to have legs in Olam Haba. And they said, what? And he said again, snakes aren't going to have legs in Olam Haba.
They're like, in Hebrew we would say, my Hesher. Right? What did that have to do with anything? So, says the Gra, it's a pasuk in Bereishis. By the snake, when the snake was cursed, what does the pasuk say? Hashem says to him, "Offer tochal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dirt all your life. Kol yemei chayecha." What does this paragraph say? Yemei chayecha o mazet. Kol yemei chayecha l'avi yimosu mashiach. Kol yemei chayecha includes all the matzah. But you see, it's just right. But the Gra says, when you see written there, kol yemei chayecha includes even the future.
The Gra says, he reads this paragraph, he says, oh, I guess the snakes are not going to have legs in most of Mashiach.
Whoa. That's how the Gra reads.
Yeah.
How do you understand the other thing if you want to fit it?
Okay.
The different words, only some places it could be extra, other places not extra. We have to fit in the halachic.
The Gra's making the drush.
Which part of Mazarab is that on?
That's in Omar was Ben Azariah, in this paragraph. Okay. Baruch HaMakom! Baruch Hu! Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu!
Kineged are all bunch of different tokens. We say Baruch HaMakom, okay, so let's go to the word. First word, HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom. Why do we use... We could really go for a few hours here, but we'll end on time. Baruch HaMakom. Why do we call Hashem HaMakom here? There are a lot of names that Hashem has.
Why dafka do we use Hamakom in this context?
Baruch Yekevake, Baruch Elokeinu. Says Rav Schwab and Rav Soloveitchik, same part. They're both contemporaries. Says Rav Schwab and Rav Soloveitchik, the same part. Hamakom, we have the word Hamakom in two places. Two famous places we use the name Hamakom. When do we say Hamakom? By a Shiva. Hamakom Yenachem Hasan. And Ahachenu Kol Beis Yisrael Hamakom Yerachem. Right, Hamakom. Hamakom Yenachem.
Right, so what's the connection between those two? A Shiva house? And davening for Jews in Tzaras.
Hamakom is always used when a Jew feels distant from God.
And we're trying to comfort them and say, Hashem is everywhere. Hamakom, He's the place. He's with you everywhere. Even though you feel far, He's with you. Hamakom. Hamakom Yenachem.
That's why we use that by Yeshiva Hatzah, we use it by Jews and Tzaros. Right now, we're about to talk about the four sons. Baruch HaMakom is the introduction to the four sons. And the four sons, some of them are close to God, but some of them are not close to God. And we want to declare that no matter where you are, Hashem is near you. No matter what son you are, Hashem is near you. Baruch HaMakom, Kineged Rabbanim Dibur Torah. Good. Basically, next, Kineged. We can tap a heart on every word in this paragraph. What's the word Kineged Arbavanim? The Torah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Torah on myself, Kineged Arbavanim, Dibra Torah. Torah is Kineged the four sons. What do you mean Kineged? So, Reb Chaim, in the base of Lydia, God, like, what is your Reb Chaim? Salvation. In every area of study, let's say you have math. You have first grade math. You have fifth grade math. You have high school math. You have college math. It keeps going up. If you try to give college math to a second grader, it can make no sense. If you try to give third grade math to a high school kid, it's silly. You have beginner, intermediate, advanced. By every area of study. In history, in math, in science, in everything. It goes. Torah. The same Rashi that a second grader studies and a tenth grader studies are family studies. And they each get different things out of it, but it's the same content. That's the magic of the Torah. The Torah is Kineged Arbavanim. It's right in front. It's Kineged all the sons. Everybody gets something out of it. The same Torah. Then we get to the four sons. So I already said the Ramayana Salvation on Monday. The four sons are really four stages of everybody's experience. That's a great part. There are some other people that say that too. We don't label anybody. But now we're just going to talk about the four sons. Story. The great story. Her lady is loving tradition. And every story of his, you know, basically has the same message. Jews are great. Right. Her lady is loving tradition was once walking home from shul on Pesach night. And all of a sudden he hears from the inside of the house, one of the Jews in Bar Yishuv, Echad! V'Echad! Russia. V'Echad! Tom.
What is going on here?
What is going on here? So he goes to knock on the door, and this pashut simple Jew opens the door.
Oblivious, like, what, Rabbi, what are you? He's like, I'm doing the Seder. He says, what are you up to? I'm up to the four sons. He says, yeah, I just heard you say it. What was the echo? He says, what do you mean, Rabbi? You taught us the Gemara. If somebody is marif the echad, if somebody sends a lengthy echad, he gets one life.
Isaac Moore says that by Shema Yisrael, so get Shema echad.
So that means that just the Shemayim says, Kodesh Baruch. It takes the average Jew many hours to get to the Kabbalah Samachal Shemayim and the end of Mati. It takes them like, yeah, go to the, and this Jew's got it already at the beginning of the Magid. He's already been Makabo Samachal Shemayim. Look at him. Echad. That's a great story. You can use that whenever. Okay. Excellent. Okay, I heard this following thought from Rav Melech Schechter. Rav Melech Schechter, or Schechter's father. For 2 years, I had this list. I drove him back and forth when I lived in Borough Park. Drove him to YU, back and forth into his 90s. So he told me this part. He said, the question is asking many of us, what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? Right? The Rasha says, Maha, what about those Chacham? So we say, oh, he excluded himself because he said, Lachem, to you. But what does the Chacham say?
Ma ha'idus va'achdutim esher tziva Hashem elkeinu estem. It's also a word like you.
So many Haggadahs ask, what's the difference? The Rosh says lachem,
and the Chacham says estem. So what's the difference? They're both excluding themselves, no?
So one popular answer is, you're right, the Chacham says Eschem, but the Chacham also mentioned Hashem's name.
But he mentioned Hashem's name. If you mention Hashem's name, that makes a difference.
Why? What does that mean? So Rav Shekhar quoted a Rashi in Parsha Shlach. A Rashi in Parsha Shlach.
Remember the story of Maraglim? Which, by the way, again, this is in Shabbos HaGadol. But the Maraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, which is always the same time of the week as the same. Right, that's why we had eggs. But the Maraglim happened that night.
So the Maraglim came back,
and they were bad, and Kalev and Yeshua are trying to save them. So what does the Pasuk say? Mishlach Vayahas Kalev. Silenced them.
Because he wanted to talk. He stands up on a chair. Rashi quotes, how did he silence them? So Rashi says he stood up and he said, do you know what Ben Amram has done?
And they thought he was going to say something like that. Yeah, well, yeah, you tell what did Ben Amram do? You tell us. He said, I'll tell you. He brought us the man, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Machas, and the like.
But Rashi quotes that they thought he was saying something negative. Why did they think that? Why did they think that Kalev was going to say something negative? This was Kalev ben Yefune.
So Shekhar explained, look closely at the Chazal. What does the Chazal say? He stands up on the chair and says, you know what Ben Amram has done for us? He didn't say his name. He didn't say Moshe.
If you don't say somebody's name, that means you're not machshiv them.
It means you don't think they're worthy of having their name said. To use a lashon that you might be familiar with, he who shall not be named.
Right, you can't even,
mention the name. If you look, and when I have to go through it, if you look in, there's a story in the Haftorah for Machar Chodesh. Egg. Is that this week's? No, this week's Shabbos. Shabbos is
Rosh Chodesh. But maybe Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, we're going to do Machar Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is Sunday, Monday.
So Machar Chodesh, whole story about David and Yonah's son and Shaul Melch invited him to a party. So it's fascinating. Shaul was very mad at David. So Shaul says to Yonah's son, where is Ben Yishai? And Yonah's son says, well, David is not here right now. I'm going to kill Ben Yishai. Where is he? Well, David is going to... Shaul keeps saying Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai, and Shaul keeps, and Yonatan keeps saying David, David, David. He couldn't say his name. If you don't say somebody's name, that shows that you can't stand them. I don't even say his name. That's the Chacham and the Rosh. The Chacham says Hashem's name. Chacham says Hashem's name. There's a lot more about the four sons, but maybe we'll continue. What else? Let's skip a little bit. V'hisha amda.
V'hisha amda. What's the v'hi?
V'hisha amda. So, the real shot, the true shot, is what's the paragraph before V'hisha amda? Baruch Shom HaKlapasal Yisrael. Hashem kept his promise, he put his hand in the line. The brisket of the supper.
V'hi and this promise, that's the simple shot. This promise is what has kept us going throughout the ages.
V'hisha amda v'hisein v'hulam. But there are many other pshatim. One that people like is the Ki, it's the Torah. By what's the Torah? The Ki. Vav, she's a severe Mishnah. Hey, Hamisha from the Torah. Yud, Aseret HaDibros, Aleph, one of Hashem.
It's our connection to Hashem and His Torah that have kept us going.
The Ki. The Ki Shemata. So number one, it's the promise. I don't know Mark here. Number one, it's the promise. Number two, It's the Vihi, these are the Rashi Tevas.
Number three, another beautiful shot I like. Rabbi, I heard this from Rabbi Palkovitz, the front of Racha, many years ago. He was Rabbi Weishel for many years. So he quoted this from the Meshavah. The Meshavah doesn't say exactly, but it's based on the Meshavah. There is a Min of the Chai Yisrael. Where did it come from? Good question. Maybe from here. There's a Min of Chai Yisrael that by Isha Amda, what do? We lift up the wine. We lift up the wine. Why do we do that? Wine symbolizes all the dinim drabanan that the rabbis made to separate us between us and the other nations.
You know, they had bishul and they had everything. But if you would pick one food where it's really separation, wine.
Yayin esach sam yayam. Wine is the symbol. We lift up the cup and say, the key. It's all those dinim drabanan that the rabbis made that have kept us going throughout the generations.
Because all of the groups of Jews that gave up the rabbinic laws, they're not around anymore.
Vehi the wine, Shamda.
Okay.
Say Ulamah. What Lomaha Rabbi wanted to do.
Okay.
Two thoughts on this.
We'll see how far we are. So, also one of my favorite thoughts. This you have also heard me say this, I think, a couple times, but it's a great one, and you have to say it over. Love on.
Rav Asher Weiss in Tanya says, he goes to the Gra,
but he's added on to the Gra. The Gra, many people know, and I knew the Gra all my life I knew it for a certain amount of time until like Rav Asher Weiss added to it. The Gra says there's a word that appears twice in Sefer Bereishis. Ayin lamed yud, alive. The Gra connects two psukim.
Yaakov Avinu, when he's about to steal the brachas, and he says to his mother Rivka, I want to go, I'm scared. Maybe my father's going to find me out.
What does Rivka say?
Alive.
Zombie, don't worry about it. I'll take the hit. Alai kill las chavini. Your curse will be on me. Rivka says, I'll take the hit.
Fast forward. Yaakov Avinu. He doesn't want to let the young go to Mizraim. He says, it's not fair. I lost Yosef. I lost Shimon.
It's not fair. Alai hayu kulana. All these sorrows are on me. Alai. It's not fair.
The Gra connects the two Alas. Says the Gra, Alai is Rashi Tevis.
Esav, Lavan, Yosef. Esav, Lavan, Yosef.
And the Gra said, no, Rivka told Yaakov, my father's going to find me out. Rivka says, don't worry. You only have three tsaras that are decreed on you. Esav, Lavan, Yosef. You don't have to worry about Esav.
You only have three tzaras, Esau, Lavan, and Yosef.
Fast forward, says the Gra. Yaakov says, you can't take Binyamin. I lost Yosef. A lie, I'm only supposed to have three tzaras. A lie, I'm not supposed to lose Binyamin.
So that itself is unreal. That itself is unreal. Shimon is from Yosef. I know you're going to ask.
Right? So that's a great part.
But then Rosh Weiss adds on to it. He says, these three, Esau, Lavan, and Yosef, symbolize three sorrows that Klal Yisrael experience.
This is such a strong message for us. I am Esau, those are the people that want to kill us physically.
Esau are the Hamans, the Hitlers, the Machshamam.
Throughout history, we've had many of those Esavs. Amalek.
What's Lamed, Lavan? The people, the nations that wanted to kill us spiritually.
The Hanukkah story. You can stay alive, but don't be Jewish. Basically, it's not special.
Stalin. But all of those, the ones that wanted to kill us spiritually, those are two types of Esavs.
The Esavs and the Lavans. But then the worst type of tzara is the Yud Yosefs. The tzara that's based on sinasim. The tzara that's based on brotherly fighting with each other.
And you know what's so sad, said Rav Asher Weiss? The first two are not in our control.
It's whatever happened. The Yosef one is in our control, and that's the one that we're still suffering from. Besides the others, but that one we can change. Okay. That's on Love and Harami. I'm going to skip a little bit. I just want to get to a few more. Moshe. Moshe comes up once in the Haggadah. Rabbi Yemin of Hashem and Moshe Avdo. You can say this whenever you want. Right? Does Moshe play a central role in the Haggadah? Like I said, you have to have those 5-minute vorts, and you have to have those like 30-second ones that like you have to like stick in there when people want to like move. So this is like a 30-second one. Why is Moshe there? Answer. Oh, thanks. Just remember about this. Who was the first person in history to ever fulfill the mitzvah of secret yetzias Mitzrayim? The first person ever in history to fulfill the mitzvah. Who was it?
Moshe Rabbeinu. His kids weren't there.
He got to Labincha. His wife brought his kids afterwards.
That first Pesach, he was the one that could tell over the story. They didn't know it. When he told up the story, you think he spoke about himself? The most humble of people?
When we fulfill it every year, we mirror the first time that this mitzvah was done.
And in that way, we give Moshe Rabbeinu plenty of credit.
By not mentioning him, we're saying, oh, but it's him, because he did it and he must have not mentioned himself, etc.
It's like the little olive in Vayikra. Moshe was humble, so he spent like hours talking about how humble he was by the little olive. No, he tries, but you know, doesn't work. Good. Makos, so much about the Makos. But I want to talk about other paragraphs that maybe other people don't talk about. Hala. Dayenu.
Just a simple thought on Dayenu. What's Dayenu about?
We go through each, if you would have given us Dayenu, if you would have Shabbos and Torah, and at the end we say, thank you for it all. Why don't we just say that last paragraph? Thank you for it all.
So the answer is that real hakaras atov,
real recognition, is focusing on the details. And when you're at somebody's house at the end of the meal and you say, wow, that was great, thanks, that's good.
But if at that point you say, you know what, the potato kugel was great. And what was that, squash?
Wow, that was like so sweet. And oh, the chicken, what? Wow, that was really, if you focus on details, that shows deeper appreciation. A child brings over home a project.
Ah, but look what I made! Beautiful! Mwah! Look what I made!
Wow, what colors did you use? Is this a bird? Oh, wow, did your teacher do this or did you do this yourself? Tell me, how do you do this? If there's more detail recognition,
that shows a deeper appreciation. It makes the person feel much better.
And that's Dayan. What do you need? Diet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get it. Right. I recognize the faces of his community, so. And I saw it in the look. Okay, that one works. Right here.
No.
Okay. Next. We have time for a couple more. Okay, towards the end of the Seder, I'll give you some thoughts.
Again, one has to know when one is able to say these,
because it could be that you will be screamed at if you say these at the end of the Seder.
So it could be that you can say this during the meal. Maybe you can say it at the end of the Seder. I assume not.
You say it during the day, but it's some great thoughts. Echad miyodea, right? You should all, by the way, good advice, don't go to the couch. Don't go to the couch during the meal, because there's a good chance that you're not coming back. Right? So just stay at the table. What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of this paragraph? So there's two thoughts on this. So what's the purpose?
So Rav Shore, or Avram Shore, in Sagada, says there's two gemaras. There are two gemaras.
One gemara says that if I look at the color blue on this teles, that will remind me of the sea, which will remind me of the sky, which will remind me of Hashem's throne. So if you look at blue, it's awesome. There's another gemara. If I look at colored clothing of a woman, it will lead me to improper thoughts. And it's inappropriate.
Say, Ezra, sure. Well, which is it? When you look at blue, what does that lead you to? Does it lead you to the Isi HaKavod? Does it lead you to Arias?
Says or sure, it depends what you're doing the rest of the day.
If I'm thinking about Ruchnius the whole day, and then all of a sudden I'll see blue, oh, you see I'm coming.
If I'm thinking about inappropriate thoughts the rest of the day, so when I see blue, that's what I think about. Right? Rishon, I told you the story. Rishon Zalman Auerbach
once met a student who had come back from Kutzlar. See, they went to Kutzlar. Rishon Zalman says, did you see the skyscrapers? It's like, what? Did you see the skyscrapers? And the boy's like, yes. Why are you so excited? He says, do you know that if there's a baby born on the third floor 5 seconds before Shkia, and there's a baby born on the 100th floor 4 seconds after Shkia, or even at the same exact moment, they could have the biggest feeling with the days. Because if you don't see the sun up there, not down here, my sheet is building. Did you see the skyscrapers? Shlomo Zalman saw skyscrapers as a first kilo.
Because when your head is kulo Torah, that's what you think about.
By the end of the Seder, we should be in such a state.
We should be so connected to Hashem, whatever we hear, we think Ruchnius.
What? Six? Oh, you see the
10, Aser Tadibris. Whatever number we hear, Kulo Torah. 2, Lukos. Because that's where we are. That's where our head is. Also related to this, separate question. It's also a crucial one. Right? Each one of them is a religious saying.
Luchos, Pavos, Imos, 7 Shabbos, they're all. What's 9?
9 months of a baby. What, you just couldn't think of a 9? Maybe that's the real shot. They couldn't think of a 9.
You can think of all the other ones. What's 9 in Judaism?
But there's a more positive answer.
Look closely. It doesn't say 9 months of pregnancy. What does it say? Tishe Yarche Leda. Is the woman in labor for 9 months? Is she giving birth for 9 months?
What does it mean, Tishe Yarche Leda?
The answer is that yes, even the 9 months is a religious thing. You know why? Because we don't say that pregnancy and birth are natural.
Yeah, it's the world.
We know that everything is from Hashem. The whole process.
And it's all called Leda, because from the first moment of fertilization until the birth, that's all from God. And that's all a religious experience.
We end the Haggadah with Haggadah. This is a fun little mashal.
The goat and the cat, and what's the message of that?
Rabbi Lau, he is Haggadah, the former chief rabbi, Yisrael Meir Lau Shliga. Rabbi Lau writes, what are the message we end the Haggadah with?
Life and all of history is a puzzle.
You're a puzzle at home. If you're missing some pieces,
you don't know the whole picture. You can know what's on one piece of the puzzle.
But if you're missing, if you don't have every piece, there's no way for you to understand.
In our lives, we're only pieces in the puzzle. Maybe we're the cat, maybe we're the tail. We're different parts.
But we don't see everything. He says, I once met Colin Powell. You know who Colin Powell was?
I think he was there for a couple of years, last year. So he was the first African-American defense head of the armed forces in America. He was tremendously pro-Israel. I think he was under Bush, under Saddam Hussein. I think that's when he was. But he died about last year or something, but he was tremendously pro. So Ray Lau said he once met him. So Ray Lau met him. He says, like, Colin Powell comes up with him and says, oh, this mob too. He's like, what? He's like, what? Did I just hear you right? He says, Rabbi, let me tell you. He says, I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up in the South Bronx. I think most of you probably can tell. The Bronx was not a... You didn't know how to say it. Not such a great downtown Detroit. I don't know what it's like. But the Bronx was not. He says, and I was a good kid. I was a hard worker, and I tried to make some money. And I used to deliver newspapers on the bike, you know, the little kid with the newspapers. I used to deliver the newspapers. There was one Orthodox Jewish family in his neighborhood.
And when I used to deliver the newspapers, they said, thank you so much. Why don't you come inside? They gave me hot chocolate. They treated me. They said, he made me feel so good. I got friendly with them. They realized I had potential. They paid for my college education. I said to myself, I will never forget the Jewish people.
What this family represents, if that's what Israel's about, I'm in.
And that's why he was such a pro. Rabbi Lau said, did this family in the South Bronx, did they realize they're just a piece in the puzzle? He quotes the story in his Haggadah.
They're just a little piece of the puzzle. They have no idea. That's what I got you.
We realize that we're only a little piece. We hope we're close to the end. We hope. But us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'shach HaMalach HaMavos.
That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're waiting for.
But we recognize that life is a puzzle, that we're only pieces, and we try our best to do what we can to do the best on our piece of the puzzle so that it can all fit together when the time is ready. Okay, there's a lot more, but I feel free. There are about 17 or 18 years worth of the Haggadah Shiurim online. If you want more, you know, feel free to listen on the OU website, on the YU website. There's a lot more. So there shouldn't be anybody coming to the Seder without an overflow amount of stuff to say. Okay, if there's anything that I could go on to take blame for, you know, that's feel free. And if you really, there's one paragraph that you like assigned in your Seder and you can't figure something out, feel free to WhatsApp me and I'll send you something back. Anyway, guys, it's been awesome. Give yourself a real shkoya. You know, 6 months, 6 months of Yevamos. 6 months Korach Zman is not simple, and it's going to be Yevamos not simple, but it's been awesome. Take it with you for life. Take it with you. We look forward to Nedarim in a couple weeks. But anyway, it's been great. Shkoya. Amazing. If you had two, I would say to say an Ala Michya. Anybody want more candy? Anybody want to take this candy? Take it home. What? What? It'll go eventually?
There's a reason why. What? There is a reason why. I have enough. Okay. Cover. Hey guys, we have that WhatsApp. So, anything, questions or anything, feel free to...